understand that these are two separate claims, one and two, and that the standard may be different between one and two. So in Dick's paper, he goes very briefly over preparing the lawsuit. But before you do a litigation, think about this. In order to be taken seriously in litigation, you have to say what you mean. In other words, if you tell the government that you're going to sue them, you must be prepared to go forward. Otherwise, they're not going to believe you the next time. So in my practice, what I do is I don't agree to take a case unless the client is committed to filing suit if it can't be resolved pre-suit. So what I do is I generally start with the complaint. The complaint is a very easy document. Dick provided a couple of examples. But what I want you to think briefly about when you do the complaint is how do you frame the issue so that you present it to the court and that there is no doubt that you or your client is correct. Let me give you an example. I was working with some colleagues in Austin. Their application, I don't remember what the benefit was. It could have been a U visa or an I-130. It was denied because they never received the request for evidence. They did an appeal. It was denied. And so for us, some of us who have not done litigation before, wanting to tell that story requires going into facts that are really not important to the claim. The claim was very simply, we did not receive a request for evidence. There is no evidence that, no proof that USCIS sent the request for evidence, and it was wrongly denied because we weren't afforded an opportunity to respond. Simple as that. If you're able to condense your claim, your cause of action, your complaint into that particular legal issue so that everybody understands what it's about, you have done more than 50% of the work in order to convince the government, or in this case, the U.S. Attorney's Office, who will be representing USCIS and the Department of Homeland Security in federal court. You will be able to convince them by saying, look, this is the exact issue that we're fighting about. Right. And if you don't and go back to your client and talk to them about it. Let me give you another example, just so you understand. A petition that was denied, I-130 that was denied, purportedly because it was not filed timely. Even though we, during this COVID times, we get the additional 60 days, right? I could have gone on and on and describing about the improper thing that the USCIS did in denying this, but the bottom line is the agency acted arbitrarily because it did not honor the deadline extensions it affords to all applicants. Simple as that. And so for a U.S. attorney who's reviewing this claim, they'll look at it, they'll calculate the date, and they'll say, you know what? He's right. He may have filed it the day before the deadline, but it was still timely, and USCIS, therefore, was arbitrary in denying the claim. So one of the first things that, again, that you have to do before you draft a complaint is condense that issue into one that is easily understandable and can be easily presented to the U.S. Attorney's Office so that they can resolve it very quickly. So once you understand what the issue is, you draft the complaint. And I am of the belief that, let me step back a few minutes now, because Dick mentioned it in this, exhaustion of administrative remedies. Should I file the appeal? Should I go to the AAO? Well, it depends. If the statute, in this case, the INA, if the statute requires you to exhaust administrative appeals, then you have to do so before going to federal court. Take, for example, naturalization cases. We can't go to federal court until we have appealed the denial of the naturalization to USCIS. If you do that, if you go straight to federal court after being denied, you will be thrown out of court because you fail to exhaust remedies. And let's take, for example, the I-130. There's nothing in INA 204 that talks about exhausting, appealing administratively denials of petitions. Nothing that requires it. It's in the regulations. And you certainly, and sometimes we should, exhaust that avenue. But to go to federal court, you don't have to do that. Having said that, if you choose to first go the administrative appeal route before going to federal court, then you should complete that process before jumping mid through the appeal process into federal court, because a federal judge is not going to like it. So